Welcome to the Equal Giving Circle podcast, The Sharing Culture, the show that talks about sharing, who does it, why, and the history, and a whole lot in between. Each episode is a stewarded conversation by one of our team members and another community organizer or community member. We hope that you enjoy these conversations about sharing and are inspired to lean in and explore your own relationship with sharing and are called to stretch and build deeper alongside of us. We look forward to sharing with you.
Hi, hi, Lillian.
Hi, AJ. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, we're here. I'm grateful that we're here. We're in a yin yoga space on Northeast 7th, recording today with Ambush, and just, yeah, grateful to be in this, like, relaxing space in community with you two, and excited about our podcast project. Season two.
I know, right? Season two. Woo-woo-woo-woo.
We're always scheming and organizing and doing stuff here at EGC. And I'm excited just about continuing this, like, education, sharing our perspective project. Yeah. So here we are thinking about, it's been 5 years since we've been in this thick of it, in this body of work together.
It's been 5 years. Wow.
Yeah, so we are co-founders of EGC. We do food access, housing, and community wellness work. And we're badasses.
That part.
All right, we're going to do our, just kind of start this session with our season's questions. I'm going to ask you some questions first, and then you rapid fire, and then you'll ask me the same questions. And then we'll get into talking more about this, like, five-year mark that we are. We're just going to be, like, celebrating vibes for, like, the next 8 months, okay?
You know, I am, like, it's kind of like with my birthday. I celebrate for the entire month. It's the month of Lillian. It's just going to be the year of EGC. 2025 is going to be the year of EGC. I'm down for it.
And then we both have August birthdays, so we're going to, like, take a pause to celebrate us.
Hey. As always.
Leo gang. all right. First question. When I say the word sharing, what are the first thoughts that come to mind?
When I think of that, I automatically think of giving. I think of care. I think of, I don't know, I think of being fed. Like, I honestly, in my mind, I think of, like, it's kind of like grandma house vibes. You know how, like, you arrive at grandma's house and then, like, they have your meal ready for you, your special meal, and you get to sit down at the table and then they give you your meal? Like, I automatically think of that, and I just think of the warm embrace and the smile. I don't know, there's a grandma smile that I'm referring to that we all know about, mm-hmm. where they're like, yeah, my baby's well taken care of. Like, that immediately pops into my mind.
Yeah, whenever a Black elder woman says, baby, it's gonna be all right, or baby, I love you, or I'm so proud of you, tears, like,
automatic, like, tears, hug. Automatic,
it's
tears,
hug. It's like your soul being just wrapped in a warm embrace. Yes. All right. Sharing food. Yeah.
That is so true.
Love. All right. What's your favorite memory around sharing? I know you got a bunch. One of them.
Ooh. One of my favorite memories around sharing. Ooh, let me think about this for a second. Dang, AJ, these are some really good questions. I think the sharing of time is really important to me. I've been recently in a CHW community health worker course, and we've been talking about, like, how to be in community and what does that look like, and what does that look like to be in community with family, and, like, recognizing that, like, that's not just optional, it's integral to how we live, how we survive, how we maintain our physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. So that's kind of, like, what, like, kind of comes into my mind is, like, the sharing of time. And when I get to be around people that, like, I feel like my authentic self, whether it's family or, like developed family, I've been very appreciative over the last past, like, solidly, like, this year of just having shared time and spaces and places where I just feel authentically welcomed, and just my presence there is the gift itself, and being in presence with others is the gift, and that's just chilling.
I love that. Yeah, time is important. Okay, last one. What do you think needs to happen to change our collective relationship with sharing?
There's so many things. Oh, AJ, you about to go down the rabbit hole with me.
Let's go.
I was like, first of all, we need to divorce our relationship with capitalism.
Say that again.
We need to divorce our relationship with capitalism.
Preach. Ashe.
Ashe. Because I think one thing that I think gets into our minds is like this like scarcity mentality. It's like we have to hoard all the resources ourselves. A collective thought has been demonized and just say like, oh yeah, if you're not good, like I was like, obviously you need to make sure you're good. However, if the only thing that you think about is making sure that you're good and you literally can't not look to your left to right to see whether or not your neighbors, your family, your friends are good, I think that's problematic. And I also think that, like, we are hardwired to share. We are hardwired to care. And we are living in a society that, like, I would say brainwashes us from a very early age in certain cultural, like, spaces and places to not to weed that out of us. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are constantly fighting our natural inclination to care for others and to share. And I think that sharing is caring.
Yeah.
As some of my nieces and nephews will say. And I think that like that is getting in our way, because I think that I think as I'm getting older, I am realizing like I have been blessed. Like I feel like the Lord has blessed me to be able to go through different schoolings, different certifications, being able to learn from different people within my community. And like, I have no desire to capitalize on that. I get a lot of questions. People are just like, you did all this education, you always get these certifications, and like, what are you doing with it? And I was like, and it's not an asking of how am I utilizing these skills, because I utilize them all the time. It's frowned upon. I'm not utilizing them to earn exponential amounts of money. And I was just like, this year I became a doula. I have and working on my lactation education training and all that jazz. And I was just like, I have no desire to per se make money, quote unquote, on these skills. I want to provide free birth, lactation, and doula support and training, like for free for my community, because I don't think that this is knowledge that we should be gatekeeping. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say this to say like people who do ask for funds for their services is wrong, but like when I tell people that, they're just like, oh, but you could do so much more. And I was like, this is my form of sharing with my community and taking care of my community. And I don't think a lot of people it's not smiled upon in a capitalist society to get all this training, to do all these things, and then to not capitalize on it. And that, in that sense, is making money. I'm capitalizing on it for the wellness of my community. And I think that's good enough.
Yeah. You hear that, y'all? You got to let go of capitalism, the chokehold that capitalism has on us as a collective. The divorce is time.
It's divorce, but it needs to happen.
Yeah, it needs, like, let's go. Get rid of it. Thank you for sharing those things and, like, just helping us, like, frame, like, this framework of to think about sharing. Like, I really appreciate that. And I get to work with you, and we're very aligned in these ways. But just thank you for sharing that with folks. And I hope that folks hear these and really marinate with them and, like, also reflect of, like, the point of us sharing these is like also for people to reflect how this also mirrors in their own behavior, their own life, their own, you know, the way that they're moving through spaces and places.
Yeah. And I think also, and I was like, I don't want to project, like, I am not perfect in this practice. There are so many times throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year that I'm just like, oh no, I'm starting to hold on, or I can do this, or I would be in a different place if I did this and I did that. And then I was like, it doesn't land well. This was like, and I think I've like, whether through therapy or working with individuals, be like trying to center in on how my body feels. Mm-hmm. And I think that like when we start like grounding in like the feels, like, does this resonate with our soul, with our body? Like, does this feel good? And I was like, I don't feel good when I feel like, when I'm in that scarcity mindset, mm-hmm. when I feel like I have to hold on to, that doesn't feel good to me. But like when I am connected in community and when I'm sharing, like it is cathartic, it is freeing, mm-hmm. and it resonates with me. And I feel like my heart rate is lower. Like yeah. my sense of like, it's just different. I bet yeah. you my cortisol levels are lower too, but you know.
I think, but, and you bring up a really great point. It's a practice. It's like, we're not perfect at it. I'd say we're good at it. This is a skill that we've been developing, that we're committed to continuing to develop, mm-hmm. but it's a practice.
Yeah.
And being around people that help you ground in this practice makes a difference. I'm spoiled with who I get to hang out with.
Yeah, I am too. I'm not gonna lie.
I rock with really dope people. So like, yay me and my community, like my intimate personal mm-hmm. like circles. But this is a practice, and yeah, it's important that we approach it as a practice. We continue to work on.
I love that. Sharing as a practice. I feel like that is going to be like, I don't know, like I have 2025. I feel like there's something.
That came up in our episode with both James, the mini genius, who I'm really excited for folks to hear that baby's wisdom, a gift from the ancestors, truly. And also, I think in the episode for sure with Kent Ford, it came up a little bit too, mm-hmm. which is also really cool to have both of like these values mirrored from a babe mm-hmm. and from an elder who's been in this work for forever.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, AJ, I think I'm going to give you some rapid fire questions. I hope you are ready. Woo! Okay, so when I say the word sharing, what are your first thoughts that come to mind?
Food.
Okay, food. Like, food for the win?
Food for the win. Definitely food, like sharing meals, sharing like produce, like just... I see, like, in my circle, I'll use an example. I had a really hard experience about a month ago, and your first was, like, response not only to support what I needed for that day and just professionally, but you were also like, do I need to go by the store? What do you need? Do you need food? Da-da-da. And I was like, no, I'm actually good on that. But when I think about sharing and those I share with and who share with me, like, food is a big part of that, just like breaking bread, making sure each other's nourished, hydrated. So food definitely comes to mind. I'd say the other thing that comes to mind is music.
Nice.
Because that's one of my like secret love languages when people like put me on to different artists or songs.
That is the best. That is like when someone knows you well enough to be like, I know you'll like this artist.
Yeah. And most of my, like, the folks that I listen to right now are all artists that, like, somebody I love has been like, do you know about this song or this artist? And so music is definitely, like, part of that. And something that people don't know is I played the violin for, like, my whole childhood.
Okay.
Shout out to my cousin Regina. We were in backup orchestra, miserable together. But we just we didn't get to move up for a long time because we were rowdy, not because we weren't practiced. Just like,
we had the skill set, but we would still have the fun.
I mean, we eventually did. But so music has always just been a pivotal part of my personal experience. I don't talk about it. Actually, I'm like thinking about starting practice again, but mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, it's been always a big part of how I connect with people. And I used to be a really big hip hop head and was like at all kinds of concerts. And
okay.
I know no one knows this. I wrote for a hip hop magazine when I was in college too. Yeah.
Okay. All these hidden skills just popping up.
I don't know. But yeah, music is like a love language of mine and something I really just, I associate sharing with. And even like it comes up in spaces, right? Like music's often playing at market. Mm-hmm. Music is often like part of important events and just like welcoming. My kid's a dancer. It's deeply rooted mm-hmm. in dance. So yeah. Music and food. Oh. And music and food is everywhere. So, like, that's a language. Anywhere you go, you can connect with strangers, music and food.
You know, when you, if you just feeding somebody, just the act of, like, feeding somebody with love and care, I think, like, that concept of, like, oh, people feel that in mm-hmm. what you're producing. Like, you know how people be like, oh, don't let somebody that's mad at you in your hair. Like, it's this concept of just like, you want somebody to be preparing something with love.
Yes.
And when something is prepared with love, it tastes different.
Facts.
It's received different.
Facts.
The space is cultivated differently.
Yep. I definitely feel love with sharing food. You know, so if you want to take me out to eat, holler at me.
Oh. You know, I mean, like, I was ready to make you soup. Like, I was literally
ready to and I'll take that too.
Yeah. I was like, you're not feeling good? I'm about to make a chicken noodle soup. You want split pea? Let me figure it out.
Yeah. I love that though. But like, and also being in spaces where like my love language are reflected back, and also just like being in community where it's like, that's just like such a way to be seen, right? Like,
yeah.
You're having a moment, like, can I feed you? Can I help ground you? Like, mm-hmm. it's just, yeah, it's just really beautiful. Yeah. Okay. Food and music.
Okay. Well, next question. What is your favorite memory around sharing?
Ooh, that's tough. I think I have two. One of my favorite memories around sharing regarding money is my kid, one of his first summer intensives to go to be in ballet. It cost like $2,500 and I didn't have the money. He was like 10 years old. And so summer intensive is like this, you know, 5-6 weeks or whatever mm-hmm. of basically dance camp, really intensive, very expensive. And one of my girlfriends just offered, she like gave me a check for $1,000 and was like, we'll figure out the rest of it. But it was like this, such a generous surprise. And it wasn't about the money. It was that she like believed in me and my kid and the moment, and was like, and she like also helped rally additional people to Matt, like quietly.
Yeah.
This wasn't like a big thing, but it just, it really shifted my perspective on money and sharing and just in a really powerful way. And just as a mom, being a single parent and like not being able to offer my kid, like it was just so special in the way that she just was like, no, we got you. Like, and this amazing experience can happen.
Yeah.
And has been able to continue to happen. Shout out to Sherry and Autumn, who like in that part of my parenting journey, like really both saw me and spoke to my spirit and like rallied things forward and supported me and just shared with me their gifts and their resources and their community. And the other like favorite memory of sharing, it's kind of like a collective, but I have lots of little people in my life that like to share artwork with me. And it's one of it's so special. Remember Grayson, in 2020, that picture? I still have the $5 and like, but just children, shout out to you, Grayson. But just sharing like artwork and just like that, like beauty and thoughtfulness from like a little person, is just really special to me. And like, I have lots of little wonderful beings that I get to interact with and I'm enriched because of them. And I think just like whenever they share like their little creations, it's so special. I have some like miscellaneous, like not even just my kids, but other people's kids, like art in my house and like some little random sculpture things that kids have given me. And it's just, it reminds me of like where we're going and also like our own kid connection, but just also like just the generosity and love that our little humans, like they come this way.
I always think I love that aspect because I think that children, especially young children, should be our North Star when we think about the mm-hmm. concept of sharing and what can that look like. I just remember he's big now, but one of my nephew Mike, I just remember when he was little and he made me, like, I came home from work and like my sister was babysitting him at the house and he drew me a picture, and I used to wear like very colorful outfits to work, and he drew me, like, I had like this like navy skirt on, this orange top, he drew my hair with like little like spirals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then, like, every time I would come, he was like, oh, auntie, I got something for you. It may have been a hairy banana, but, like, he kept a slice of banana from his breakfast. So then I got home and he was going to give me this slice of banana. And I was like, oh my God, this little boy is going to make me cry. And I think about that because I was just like, he was thoughtful throughout his whole day. He was like, I got a present for you and I'm going to make sure you got something to eat. Cause he enjoyed bananas.
Yeah. But yeah,
I don't know why I'm getting teary, but yeah.
because we are on borrowed time. Cause really we got to think about the next generation and kids, you know, they're learning to be human and they also like, they literally just were on the other side.
Mm.
Right. So like they are connected to our ancestors in a way that like we get more disconnected from.
That is such a powerful thing if you like about.
I see that in like my nieces and like my extended like my godchildren and like, you know, my little community nieces and nephews, like they are definitely connected. And sometimes they say really crazy shit that should be like, you only knew that from an old person or an elder or a different generation. Like, who was you kicking it with on the other side?
Like, the conversation was going down.
Yeah.
Because this is so powerful.
Yep. And, you know, and they, I do think that for many of us children, not just our own children, but children in general are that North Star, the beacon of like, this is why we do this work. This is why we care. This is why we show up. And you know, ultimately we want it to be better for the next generation, right? Like when people bring up that antidote, my ancestors' wildest dreams, like they're not talking about capitalism, friends. They're talking about a different experience, liberation, closer to liberation, closer to, you know, sovereignty and peace, right? An experience of rest, an experience where like it's centered around joy and, you know, access to movement and freedom and all the things. It's not about sneakers or a car.
That part.
And children help us like see that and remember that. And yeah. And children also like don't know how to, like they haven't yet learned how to truly be shitty. You know, like it's shitty adults. It's learned. They don't necessarily like show up at a fresh newborn. And a fresh newborn is like, you know, untainted.
Yeah.
2 year old is closer to being closer to being, you know, untainted, and they haven't learned how to be an asshole yet. Or harmful. I mean, maybe an unregulated, like, you know, two-year-old, a little unhinged, but they're not, like, manipulative, mean, or spiteful, or, like, they haven't learned bigotry.
Well, and I mean, like, and I think that's, like, and, like, from, like, I was just, like, I think the biggest testament to, like, when we think about how we raise and support are the littles around us, they learn through example and they're a reflection of what we as adults are projecting into society. And like, again, like in those lessons that are learned and as they grow up internalized and things like that. And I do think it's like such a big marker to be like, how as adults, how are we showing up? How must we show up differently? And like, what's the commitment around us showing up differently? Because I'm looking around the world right now. Because what date is it? It is November 19th. I'm looking around the world right now. And I'm just like, we are not reflecting the values that I would love my children to grow up in right now. And it's showing really hardcore right now.
Yeah. But.
Well, I'll hit us up with our last rapid fire question, you know, because we can go on. What do you think needs to happen to change our collective relationship with sharing?
Woo. Discipline.
Ooh, tell me more.
Yeah. So I spend quite a bit of time with elders in our community. Intentionally want to listen, but also many of them are very open to some of my need to vent. And like, rally me back to being like, I can keep going. And something that often comes up in those conversations is discipline, right? Like, we have such a, in 2024, we have this relationship with instant communication, whether it's text, email, or I know that your phone is on you, so I feel like you should answer. you know, I can order things on through an app and they just will show up. We did that with some food today. We ordered food and it just, we didn't have to go anywhere, right? It just came right here to Yin Yoga Space. And that was nice. Was it delicious donuts? Great breakfast sandwich. But we have this relationship with instant, right? I could hop on the internet and read something really fast or access things, buy things. So we just have this relationship with instant things, which really does not require discipline, right? Like in a different time when you had to make sure that you got to get somewhere in a certain time, or I couldn't double book because I can't grocery shop from here and have it delivered to my house or whatever.
Yeah.
Our relationship on just a daily basis at a different time period look different, right? How we function and show up. And that mirrors now into our social practices, into how we spend money, into our attention spans and our discipline with our commitment to social practices, to humanitarian rights, to civil rights, to good causes, to community, to taking care of other people has all shifted. And and I worry that, you know, we're not talking about that in a way that is impactful. And I really do think that if we were all very disciplined in sharing and our general experience would look different. You spoke to a minute ago about like the biological aspect of sharing, that we are hardwired. This is part of our species, right? Mm-hmm. Humans as a species have survived due to sharing, collective sharing. We're actually supposed to live in groups about 150. You can name all 150 people. You can remember their basic information. You can, you know, they live over there. She likes, you know, red is her favorite color. That person absolutely hates bananas. You can remember these things about 150 people. That experience, we don't have that anymore. We're moving away from the hard wires of living in that experience and functioning in that way. And we're picked up these habits of capitalism, which are not conducive to human biology or, you know, functioning. And so I think that like our discipline to stay in focus, to commit to social needs, social justice, human rights, just like making sure people are surviving. Like, I just really think that discipline and us like challenging that and committing to it, right? And thinking about, again, sharing as a practice. If this is a practice, you have to be disciplined, right? Like, if I want to start playing the violin again, I have to practice regularly. Like, I'm going to be pretty rusty when I pick it up and actually do it. It's going to be squeak, squeak, squeak. It's not going to sound nice. It's not going to sound like it did when I played for 10 years.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to sound very different. It's not going to be like what if, you know, somebody who knew me then is be like, I don't remember you playing the violin like this. Yeah, well, I haven't practiced.
And I think one thing that you, like, I think building off of one thing that you mentioned is it's like sharing helps keep us in community.
Yeah.
And I think that like one of the things I was like, cause I was like watching like this, like kind of news report around technology and the future of technology and like kind of these like meta headsets and all these things that's supposed to like have us like in virtual spaces, but like disconnected from community. One, many of these tech giants are not allowing their children to access this technology. They're in Montessori schools, doing all the things, not to say Montessori is be all end all, but like they're not being exposed at such a young age to these tech pieces of technology. But like just building off of this concept, I was like, when we are in direct acts of sharing and being in community, like we're getting transmission, like we're able to sit with our elders and learn from their stories. And like as Black people, we are a storytelling community. Mm-hmm. We pass along concepts, understanding, ideas, morals, lessons through the act of story, which comes from conversation, that comes from us playing the numbers and sitting, telling stories back and forth and being in space together. And what we lose as a society when we default to instantaneous, like, oh yeah, this interaction should be just, this should take a minute. Like, why is this taking so long? When I was like, and I think we're both on the cusp of like, I didn't have a cell phone or access to the internet on a regular basis until I was like 19, 20 and in college. So I grew up in absence of having everything at the tips of my, I was using the Dewey Decimal System. I was still going to the library looking for the number.
I had a pager in high school.
You had a pager. I had my little Nokia phone and the lanyard around my neck. I felt so proud. You know, I was playing Snake on the phone.
A little cell phone, I think. Yeah.
And the battery never died. I don't remember recharging my battery for my cell phone. I digress. But like it, being able to be in place and space takes time. And like you said, it takes that discipline to be able to settle. And then also recognizing that like when we condition our bodies to be in constant stress, whether that's the concept of through transition or not being like not having spaces and places to relax, when we do get in community, it feels weird. And mm-hmm. I think that like we have to condition ourselves to be like, okay, am I feeling discomfort because this is a bad space, or am I feeling discomfort because I haven't had the opportunity to sit in warm, connective community spaces that's not built on capitalism, that's not built on what you are providing, what value you bring to the space other than the value of being in connection and being in support, which may be so jarring to individuals that they're like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And I think that like, and something that like as a child, like you ever like been with a little kid and just been chilling? Just in a space, quiet, connection, chilling. And I was like, we don't always get to have those spaces and places mm-hmm. as adults. So I think that like through the discipline of, have I spent time with my loved ones in absence mm-hmm. of the TV, in absence of like strolling on TikTok? Have I spent connections and, you know, with others in different ways? And again, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, and to your point earlier about like not being perfect at these practices, right? When I think about discipline, because I'm going through a current new exercise in discipline where I'm trying to really only shop at local stores, which is,
you got it, AJ.
Yeah,
we see you.
And it's like it's an own personal challenge, and it's an own, like for me, it's for me to stretch myself in my practice of discipline and planning and thoughtfulness. And I think a lot of times, like, we say these words, these value words or these action words, but we don't always associate them with like how we practice them or how it shows mm-hmm. up in our day to day. And so I bring this up, not like I'm like out here doing something that's so special. It's just for me right now, this is like a practice that I'm trying to stretch myself. And I, the other day I was reflecting on that. I've often challenged myself in these practices of discipline or stretching myself, not to like be better than anybody, but really to stretch like what I'm capable of or how I'm focusing on something. And so I offer that to people more of just like as an opportunity when we're talking about movement work, when we're talking about moving things forward, right, into a different experience, we all have to figure out how we can stretch, how we can share, how we're engaging in these things from a practice standpoint. And then what exercises we're helping ourselves lean in, right? You always talk about, show me your budget, I can show you what you value, about. Right? Yeah. And that's very powerful. And that is like an exercise that people can do to look at, how am I spending money and how does this reflect my values or even my discipline around, you know, where my dollars are going? Because I vote with my dollars. I'm, you know, co-signing the world's actions with my dollars. So I think that's like just like another way for people to think about, especially people that like maybe are newer to this space or are trying to double down in how they're showing up. Oftentimes, a lot of this is like an inner self activities.
Yeah,
it is helpful that you have like people to talk about it who can either offer ideas or support or even just rooting for you. I do appreciate the folks who are rooting for me in my little grocery adventure.
Well, and I really like that like piece around like, and again, like you said, like I say that all the time about, show me your money, I'll show you what you value, because I truly believe that is a thing, because I think that we intellectualize, and what I'm seeing that is rehashing from 2020 to 2021, everyone's just like, I gotta get a book club. I gotta buy these books. I need to figure out how to radicalize myself. I need to do this and I do that. And I was like, I want you to pause and I want you to look on your bookshelf. And I'm talking to the audience. I want you to look on the bookshelf about all those books you brought in 2020 that you still have not read, that you may have read a chapter on, that is still laying dormant in the book pile, mm-hmm. the to-be-read book pile. So before you start getting hyped up and buying another set of books, like, it's like one of those moments to be like, we start noticing our patterns. And I was like, and I'm a person that likes to intellectualize things too. And I was like, we intellectualize a problem. We intellectualize like what we're going to do. And we fantasize. And I was just like, I think a lot of us, like, well, like individuals that consider themselves allies or accomplices, y'all, we start fantasizing about the great things that we doing. And mm-hmm. in that fantasy, we trick ourselves to be like, we done did something. And I was like, I want us, like, collectively, and I have to do this for myself. I was like, did I spend a lot of time thinking about what I want to do and like how that would impact community and like imbalance of that? And because I always think that it is powerful to have like visions of your work. What does that look like? And I do think that, you know, like, I am my daddy and my grandmother's child. Like, mm-hmm. you have those dreams, and like, whether it's, you feel it's a prophecy or something along those lines, to be like, ooh, it resonates. This is what I should be doing. Like, this is what I, like I asked, I prayed on something, I asked about something, and now I'm seeing it come into fruition. I need to like lean into that. Mm-hmm. However you like conceptualize your world being, but then like, are you doing the work to get there? And I think that like having the vision, having those thoughts and ideas, and then like also reflecting on like, am I taking tangible steps to get there, or am I just proud that I'm thinking about it? And I think sometimes we get excited because we're like, we have made it to a space where we can understand and think about that.
Yeah.
But that and action are two very different things.
If you're not being action oriented, you're really not doing anything. And stop clapping for theory. Like, theory, the excitement over theory, meetings about meeting, talking, is dangerous. And it's very harmful to the quote unquote work. And the work is the action.
The work is the action. And I think also, again, like, I like, again, harkening back to like, look at your book pile, because like, these are at times superficial actions that like, okay, like, you get the book. Supposedly you get a book club. You are in the homogeneous book club of the people that you surround yourself with, because to be honest, like, you haven't expanded your social circle to include, sometimes people haven't expanded their social circle to include people of different races, ethnicities, like, orientation, all these things, like, that hasn't happened. So then you start meeting within groupthink, people that you already know.
Yep.
And then like, once that like peters off, like, and then like, again, I told people after the election, I give people 2 weeks, and then people sound a little quiet now. People are like, that fervor that was there, it's lessening. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, once, if you don't have a system of support that's going to hold you accountable to be like, mm-hmm. what are we doing? Like, we're not in alignment anymore, like, or a reflective practice, then, like, slowly you can, like, feel comfortable again, because you intellectualize, you try to do a thing, and then you can go back to what you were doing before.
Yep.
And that's problematic.
To your point of the feelings, the worry, the all the things regarding the election, and now it's 2 weeks out and where people are kind of getting quiet. That really is also speaks to the way that particularly white people show up in activism spaces, progress, in righting wrong. Like, y'all really here for the, you know, the big, ooh, you know, there's dust, there's a big old commotion, right? And then, ooh, the dust settles, move on, like, next thing, and, like, not committed, which is also why things have a hard time moving. Like, you can't vote every 4 years and then think everything is copacetic. Like, if you're going to be politics, it's an all the time thing. Mm-hmm. It connects everything, right? You can't just share one time and then be like, I'm an expert sharer. No, you shared one time, probably by force. If you're, this is a practice, you do it all the time. This is something that you're actively thinking about. You know, and a lot of white people, unfortunately, like the discipline, particularly around progress, civil rights, humanitarian rights, being on the right side of moral history, it's performative, and it's not an ongoing like life commitment. Like this work is a life commitment. This work is an ongoing life commitment. This isn't something we do for fun.
I think that like it's been very interesting just thinking about like the conversations that I'm specifically hearing. I'm specifically hearing culturally specific organizations having around like, again, like over the last 2 weeks, the amount of caretaking that has happened, like from our organizations and so many others to support the community, like, because of the fear, anxiety, stress, depression of like these results have been massive. And I want to do a big shout out to Tamar, our CSA director, that is in the front line, that probably has on the weekly the largest touch point with our participants. Because like in preparation to that first Thursday market after the election, the amount of care she took in to figuring out how to create safety, a community sense of community and space was massive. And I was just like almost a single-minded focus. She was like, no. I need to make sure this market's good. Like that could wait until next week. We can do that later.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful to see it come to fruition. But I was just like, and I was like, the prolonged thought that went into that, that wasn't just a, oh, this upcoming Thursday. That then goes into our her planning for the next month, going to 2025, our planning, and what does that look like? I'm already in December of 2025 mentally right now, and I'm not even playing around and thinking about sequence of supports and services, and what does that look like in face of what we're about to see happening on a community level, a county level, a state level, and on a federal level. Like this is, and I was just like, so I was just like, people were just like, I'm tired. I was like, I don't know how people are tired when you just got up 2 weeks ago. So that like, part. I was just like, I'm going to need you to reevaluate, because I was like, that comment that you said upon discipline, I was like, it's kind of like learning how to creating a workout regimen. I was just like, you can do the begin new year, you me blitz that we've seen. And this has been a new year, you me, new me blitz. And then 2 weeks, trickle off, and we don't talk about it until the next year. Or we can say that like I need to build my stamina, like right now I'm able to engage in this work for this amount of time in these spaces. Next month this is going to look different for me, and how is it going to look different? Because people are going to engage in the practice of building the skill sets that they need to engage differently. So I'm going to need people to start building these skill sets up, because like I don't want to hear like, woe is me in 2025 and I can't understand what's going on, like how can we help? And I was just like, when you have planful organizations, sorry, I'm just pointing to the world around us, you have planful organizations that have been consistently doing work, telling the community what we need, what it can look like, providing venues and spaces and places to do it. Like people know. And I was like, you can't, I was like, I'm going to say it, you can play naive, but like once you already seen it, once you already had the conversations, you can't unlearn that. In many spaces, in many circumstances. So it's like, well, how are you building? How are we collectively building our stamina to do bigger and better things? Cause we got to show up in 2025 bigger and better.
Yep. Well, this is a good segue.
Hey. I love how that built into your vocabulary. My family, everyone knows, like, we big family and we like to talk a lot. So when we want to like shift conversations, we'll be like, quick segue.
And then we will talk about a whole different conversation and then we'll be like, segue back. And then jump into the other conversation. So I'm glad.
Hey, Jay. I mean, well, it also just speaks to we really are out here together building. We talk a lot. We out here, like, doing this work. You don't always see us maybe, like, doing some sort of, like, TikTok dance together. It's not no. us. But we out here regularly talking, texting, in meetings, supporting each other, learning together. Yeah. So it's all good. Yes. Segue to us talking about 2025. So EDC is 5 years old. This is like the fall time is when we back in 2019 started to organize, come together. That we talk about that I think in our season one.
Yeah.
So here we are, 5 years. We have been feeding hundreds of Black and Brown families across Portland with food that we buy from Black and Brown farmers. Again, feeding lots of people, lots of families with food that we buy. We purchase it with money, not hopes and prayers, but with dollars from Black and Brown farmers within the Portland metro area. We have a housing program that's on ice right now, but we got some fun things in the works. We're seeing, hopefully, you know, just... sowing some seeds, watering some situations, and is building. And then community wellness, which looks like our big events, plant jam. What else? We got like the walking group, blood pressure, yeah,
health.
And then this new baby.
Our new baby, yeah. Healthy families, healthy births.
Yeah. So that's which is really exciting. Prenatal and beyond program supporting. It's like we're piloting right now, but it's going to grow. It's a resource program to support families welcoming new babies and just so the whole family is nourished and receiving some resources, and we're connecting with other programs to help with some of the other wraparound services.
Yeah, super excited about that.
Yeah. So... working on continued programming. We're trying to buy a building, which has been absolutely insanity. And let's not go there. Might get unhinged.
Yikes on bikes.
yikes on bikes. But we're trying to buy a building. We're trying to get into a space. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really big thing. What else? Like, we're trying to, like, just keep this going.
Well, yeah. And I think that, like, one, I mean... to reach this 5-year mark is a true testament to the amazing work that, like, one, the support of our community that allowed us to build and grow and be in spaces and places together. And then also, like, I'm just like, shout out to my other directors. Like, this work would be impossible without y'all on a daily basis. Like, allowing me to then think like us bouncing off our radical ideas with each other and be like, is this too big? Is this too big? And you're like, nah, it should be bigger. Like, AJ's like, you can do more. And like, and I think like in our last episode that we did together, I talked about like, even in the beginning when AJ was just like, I was like, we about to do 30 families. In my mind, I was like, logistics, how we get this, da da da. And she's like, I think we can do 60. And I think we can do 100. I was like, where is this money coming from? But it was like from those audacity of those dreams that we have arrived here. And then like we are allowed to use our creativity, our deep connection with community to be so nimble and provide consistent service and support. And I was just like, so consistent that you can mark your calendars on when our events, when they're going to happen, our weekly events, like the consistency of those events. And it's beautiful. I was in a training this weekend, and I'm just sitting in a training, and somebody was just like, I went to this beautiful market from the Equitable Giving Circle. And, you know, it wasn't a feeling of like scarcity as I waited in line. There was so much care and support, and like they had OHSU there and I was able to get my vaccinations, and there was all these things. And I was like, unprompted, they didn't know I was in the space, and I just like chat. I was like, I'm so glad you came to the market. We was in a Zoom meeting. I'm so glad you came to the market. Please come back next week. And they was like they were like, what's the, like, do you got a flyer? You got a name of this market? I dropped a flyer in there, and I was just like, something that I always like think about. I was like, we don't need accolades from any county, state, federal program. The only accolades I ever want and need is from the community that we serve. Mm-hmm. Like the only time, like that's all I want to hear. And it was such a powerful space to be like, and we've been doing this for like 5 years.
Yeah. I had this similar this weekend. I was at Soul Restoration, hanging out. They've been holding space for community the last couple of weeks, just opening up the space, having food. We sponsor a little bit of food and some flowers over there. Not shouting that out because we're awesome, but we are awesome. We be just showing up always. But had an elder say, you know, I'm really proud of you, baby. Like that same. We don't need the accolades from, you know, some goofy gala or some, you know, questionable state agency, but the community seeing, they are the community seeing us and reflecting that joy and just gratitude is everything. Mm-hmm. It's really special. It is wild. We're like really here 5 years. Like one of the things when I think about that 5 year mark for me is how many folks told us our idea was impossible. Like so many people were like, you can't do this. This is crazy. This is too hard. This isn't sustainable. There's just no way. And I remember like, and that's been something that I've like absolutely faced in so many different spaces of my life. Mm-hmm. Just growing up and having a kid really young, being a single parent, and just so then to have this experience where people were like, you guys can't do this radical thing of feeding people and having a program that's based in economics. Cause y'all, we are based in economics. I know that y'all just think it's about food and like, you know, feel good. Yep. This is very much thoughtful about economics. So to be able to like, you know, hear that, we heard that and we were like, interesting that that's your perspective. Anyways, and we have, you know, been able to keep this moving and going, creating additional programming, being consistent, just really is, for me, is so special and is such an accomplishment, because it is really frustrating when people are like, that can't happen. We can't do things differently. We can.
We can.
It's an example. And we can do it differently.
And I think that, like, a lesson that, like, my father died like in the middle of my senior year in high school. And one of the things that he told me, like it was literally like maybe a couple weeks before he passed away. I was like senior year in high school. I'm like thinking about all the schools I wanted to apply for. And I was like, I was getting cold feet to apply for certain schools. And I was like, I am never going to get into these schools. I'm never going, like, I was just in my mind. I was like, get in my head. And I was like, my dad's in the kitchen. I'm in the kitchen and I'm stressed out. Like, I'm stressed out, Lillian. And he looked at me. He was like, never tell yourself no. You may go after it. You may fill it out. You may do all the things. And they may say like, hey, this is not for you. He was like, never tell yourself no. If you want it, you go after it. That like, and I was just like, that was like, I like for like the rest of my life, that has been like my mantra. I was like, I'm not going to, if I want something, if I want to go after something, I'm never going to tell myself no. I'm going to do my best to get it. And I'm going like, and you know, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. At least I tried to get the thing that I wanted. And I reflect that back on like how we were doing this work, or like as we started this work, because people in places and spaces that did not have the funds to help us, that did not have the vision or was not deeply entrenched in community, was like on our shoulders saying like, this can't happen. You can't really do that. That's a no. Like, we're in a pandemic. Like, you know, before we even started calling it a pandemic,
yeah,
like, people were just like, that can't happen. And it was, there were so many naysayers, and people were like, it was just like, this is impossible. You mean you want to deliver food to people's doorsteps? And I was just like, I get dopamine off of solving problems. Like, I'm that level of neurospicy. So I was just like, of course, we're going to figure this out, and it's going to get done.
Yes.
And I was like, and we are, like, we went after our goals. Yeah. So, like, I just remember the Zoom meetings, us in those cloth masks that I sewed together.
Yeah.
Thank you, Miss Barb, for help cutting out fabric with me.
Yeah, it's wild. I'm really proud of us. I'm really, and I'm excited. You know, I am a little tired. I'm looking forward to our holiday break, and I'm gonna take a little extra time off in the new year. At least my goal. It's my goal.
It's not your goal. It's gonna happen because you're gonna take your time.
It's already shifting from what I originally wanted, but like, something's gonna happen. Oh, I'm getting a look.
Yeah, I know. I was like, you can't see this. I'm giving the side eye. I'm giving the Lillian side eye.
But you know, and we're tired. Our team does a lot of work. I think like people don't realize like we do have a little team. We have amazing volunteers, and we do a really big body of work. I'm really proud of what we have been able to accomplish, and I am looking forward to continuing to both support the community and also showcase that like really powerful work can happen in a consistent way. Being mindful of how we spend money, where we spend money.
Yeah.
And just really, you know, being full circle. I think there's like within the agriculture community, there's lots of really powerful movements around like full circle systems. So it's thinking about, you know, both from production and waste all the way to soil health. And, you know, there's these like cool loopy graphics or whatever.
Yeah.
And I love that. And we are from like a distribution from like a city girl. And I'm saying city girl. So if you're offended city by girl. That, like we city girls. we're thinking about the system too in a full circle graph. So maybe I got to work on a graph, y'all. Or if you work, if you're good at making graphs, holler at info@equilibriumcircle.org. We can make a graph together. Or, you know, some sort of infographic that really, you know, we're, this is economics. We are raising dollars from the community. We do get grants. We do get, you know, some government contracts. It's not a lot. Most of our funds are coming from the community. We take those dollars. We spend them in our community.
Yeah.
Right. We're spending that money with Black and Brown farmers, with local food purveyors. And we even do that as much as we can with any, all of our programming is really trying to be intentional about spending that in local businesses, with Black and Brown businesses, with queer businesses, with women-owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We take the whatever that we're buying and we put that in the community. And so this is like another, you know, this is a circular situation from an economic standpoint. We're not taking care of soil health because we're not farmers.
Yeah.
we're not. But we are thinking about how we are problem solving from a circular holistic model, right? Like, I think there is a lot of responsibility that nonprofits do have. And, you know, it's okay that we're a nonprofit for some of our radical friends who are like the industrial nonprofit complex. I hear you. And also, we wouldn't be able to raise certain amount of dollars or access certain programming. And we are also showcasing that you can keep your values and morals in a nonprofit space thoughtful and intentional. We have to use the systems that are in place to build out and to access resources. But we're taking those dollars that we are raising and being responsible and keeping them with our community and empowering our community from an economic standpoint. While we are not capitalists, we're not. we're not. Like, loudly, we're not. We do understand capitalism. And we do understand how we can be within the city in this urban, you know, space and taking care of our community and working with our community that we can use these systems in different ways and for the benefit. And I think that's something, even thinking about discipline, right? Like, we have to be disciplined in our strategy, and we can't just, I wish we could live in the future where everyone's taken care of and we're just having a nice nap by the river or whatever. but we're building to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just like, for me, it's also like the call to those that are listening and those in our community that like, it's important that you're building within the system and that you are also being thoughtful and supporting, you know, the movement of building out of what we experience.
Yeah. And I think that like in the realm, like when you think of like, oh, like sometimes we default to what's convenient, and the concept of sometimes conveniency is deeply rooted in harmful practices mm-hmm. to our other fellow humans, harmful practices to the earth.
Yep.
And like having, again, like you said, that discipline to be like, okay, I'm not going to order that thing online. I am going to walk to my local store and I'm going to purchase it from there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, you know what, instead of like, I'm going to take an hour out of my weekend to do this instead of doing that. Mm-hmm. And like those shifts, like one is probably better for your overall physical health and well-being and opportunities and connection with community. Mm-hmm. But then also it really harkens to be like, oh, this can actually happen. And I do think that sometimes we're just like, oh yeah, like it's not going to get there quickly. It's not going to get there at 4 a.m. in the morning. It's not going to be at your doorstep. I was like, do I really need it at 4 a.m. in the morning? Or no. Like, is that just a false sense of expediency that's been built into my mind to have me fall prey to the sense of convenience?
Yeah. To that point of convenience, I love to challenge people to like time themselves doing regular activities. In our relationship with time and convenience, we often have like warped understanding of how long things take, right? Like mm-hmm. I'll use a personal example. I hate doing the dishes, and if I time myself doing the dishes, I know that it only actually takes like 7 minutes to like unload and load the dish. I have a small kitchen, like to unload and load the dishwasher, right? It's not actually that big of an inconvenience. It's not like I'm actually doing the dishes for like 6 hours. In my head, I'm doing the dishes for like 14 hours straight, and it's just like hard manual labor and it's miserable. That's completely some insane thing that I've like created. It usually takes me like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, like when I've timed myself so that I can like start giving myself this reality check that like you don't have to avoid doing that because it's only 6 minutes of your time and you can bop that out real fast and be done with it. And so thinking about discipline and thinking about, okay, I can swap this for that, or I can make these decisions, time yourself so you have a better understanding of like how long things take, and that also can help with the relationship of discipline and being more thoughtful or intentional with your actions.
Yeah. And I think also just like thinking about like, again, like I think about time in the sense of like on a, like a community level, where am I spending my time at? Cause I had to do like a deep reset this summer because like I didn't have TikTok for a long time, and then I got TikTok, and then I was strolling on TikTok, and I was strolling in the morning, I was strolling in the afternoon, I was scrolling in the evening. And that I was like, even though you're just like, I wasn't on there that long, my phone was telling me different. My phone was like, but ma'am, you are spending hours a day on the TikTok. So I had to think about, I was just like, okay, again, not that I believe that I need to be quote unquote productive every hour of the day, but I was like, all these things that I want to do that I'm telling myself I don't have time for, I was like, I actually do have time for this. I have time to go to the soccer game for my nieces and nephew. I have time to hang out with my friends more. I have time. I love dancing. If y'all know me, I am a social dancer for life. And like, I injured my knee, so like, I'm slowly getting back into it, doing my PT. Thanks, Dr. Greg. I'm doing my PT. but like, I was like, oh yeah, I do have this time. Mm-hmm. But like, there was a time suck in my life that like, I was like, I just like blanked out on the amount of time I was spending on it. And then when I reevaluated, I was like, oh, I do have time. And I feel a lot better when I am doing these things so that I can be like, not productive, be more present. So I was just like, I'm divorcing the concept of productivity and like really leaning into the concept of being present. Like, am I present when I'm eating dinner? Am I present when I am talking to a community member? Am I serving? Am I present with my friends? And then I think those fundamental shifts helps get to that sharing conversation, helps get to the discipline conversation. and like really helps us, like, I think organizationally, as I think about us in this 5-year mark, is it's like the level of presence that we can have because we went through all these trials and tribulations. We built up the organization. We created this flow. We can be present and think about different things in a different way than we were able to like 5 years ago when we first started.
Yeah. Ooh, well, we're kind of leaving y'all with a lot of action-oriented things that you can do. And I would say in the spirit of our anniversary, and I'm asking for gifts.
Hey.
Really asking people to, like, think about the discipline, think about how they're using their time and their resources, and really lean into the practice of sharing. Like, if you are a fan of EGC, then you have to be a fan of sharing, because that is a big part of our model, our mission, the way that we move, our values.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sharing is going to be the thing that helps us build into a new experience.
Yeah.
You know, capitalism, thankfully, is dying, not fast enough, which I know is scary, and I'm going to get some comment about that, and I'm not sorry in advance, but we have to practice building a different experience, and that's, you know, a call to action in this moment, and what we are doing here at EGC. I am going to shamelessly plug a little bit of our things as we wrap up this session, and I'm so grateful that we just got to, like, chat and you know, just kind of reflect a little bit about 5 years of this incredible work. Come, you know, sign up as a donor. This work is not funded on hopes and prayers or Instagram likes or you being a fan. Fans don't feed nobody. Fans don't create community wellness events. It doesn't, you know, support people with diapers. Doesn't create programming.
Yeah. Those diapers are expensive.
Yeah.
The diapers we get in.
Very expensive. And we really are thoughtful about quality of products and making sure that things are not harming our community. You know, making sure that we're buying quality food, things with low sugar or no sugar, like, you know, not like low the lowest sodium. Quality. Yeah. Low sodium. Just really being thoughtful about that. So we're really encouraging y'all, if you are listening, if you're a fan, to sign up as a monthly donor. And when we say all amounts matter and help, it really does. If you got $20 on it a month, that's beautiful. You got 100 on it, fantastic. If you got more or somewhere in between, absolutely perfect. We love it. We need it. Please build and be in community with us. This next year, we're going to be working on a donor drive. So, you know, sign up as a monthly donor at any amount that is comfortable for you. And then ask your friends, your neighbors, whoever you're in a group chat with, whoever you be kicking it on social media with, your coworkers, the people you go to a yoga studio or a gym, ask those people, hey, can you match me? Are we value aligned? Are we investing in our community in the same way? Please join me. That's really powerful and important, and we need that. And especially as we're thinking about what is going to happen from just administration level as we go into a different, you know, presidency, that I'm trying to be really respectful and unhinged. We're going to need to invest in community work in a very different way, and we cannot assume that the government or foundations are going to support this work. So just really inviting y'all to support this work with your dollars, and also show up as a volunteer. It's on our website how to do that, so I'm not about to get into the weeds about that. It's directions, and there's a reason, safety. We weren't born yesterday. We've been doing mutual work and community organization, like organizing, for decades. We're very educated. I think I did the math the other day. I think we're like 120 years of higher education in our team. And we've got like over 200 years of, I think it's almost like 300 of organizing and like direct service work. So like we are very experienced. Ask you to just like tap in, look at our website, equigivingcircle.org, sign up as a volunteer. There are rules and sort of some boundaries for safety. Like, we are out here. This is a very vulnerable space to be. I don't think people realize that, as being an organizer, especially being a quote unquote radical organizer. It's very vulnerable for us to be out here. So be respectful, but show up, match our energy in a positive way, and help us continue to build a different experience. we're not going to see change from the top down. We're going to see from the bottom up. So come and be part of that bottom up with us.
Yeah. I'm just so excited for the next 5 years. Like, I'm just so, I know, I just, you know, I'm just so excited for the next 5 years because I was like, one, yes, I need y'all to donate. If you, I was like, and I was like, we talked about those skills about building your like stamina. Mm-hmm. If you can only do a reoccurring donation of $5, go on and sign up for $5. Because one day you may be able to go 10. You may be able to go 15. But do it. I was like, as what did Rihanna say? You gonna pull up? You pulling up with us?
Pull up.
Go on, pull up. Second, I was just like, we have to radically reimagine and support this work in such a expanding way going into this next year, going to the next 4 years. And I was like, it's not going to happen if we wait for it to happen. We have to strategize. And again, I think harken back to the civil rights movement. I harken back to all these things. I was like, this didn't happen by happenstance. It happened because communities came together. They strategized. They pooled their money. They thought about the economics of how do you use your economics of where you're buying, where you're going to get to the ultimate goal. And that is a sustainable community that is free of discrimination and bigotry, free of hate. And that is what we're doing right now. So I want you to donate to this organization. There's also a many other organization. Find your organization and donate them. Go donate to them. If also when AJ talked about go and talk to your friends, this is a litmus test. If you feel uncomfortable talking to your friends about this organization and about the radical way we do our work, I want you to check the circle that you hanging around with because it may not be the circle you need to be in. And again, I'm not just saying for our, like think about our organization, but if you feel uncomfortable about talking about your passion work, your passion projects, where you want to put your money at with the circle that you're around, that makes me wonder what about that circle makes you feel so uncomfortable that you can't talk about the work that you feel so deeply aligns to the work that you want to do, to the way you want to see your community. So as I'm sending you out with a task, one, again, in celebration of our fifth birthday, go on and sign up. If you've been listening to us for a while and still haven't signed up, shame on you. Go on to sign up now. And two, really think about who are you aligning? What does that look like? Who do you want to be aligning with? And how is those alignments going to help you move forward with this radical work that we have to continue on growing over the next couple of years and beyond? Because this work just don't stop. I would like to retire soon and live in my cottage, live in my like queer little commune, fortune, and doing all the things. And I'm gonna need everyone to show up to allow me to do that because I would like to rest as well.
Facts. I'm gonna close this out with something my dad said at the Imagine Black call to action. And it was, we were all just very tickled. It was the best comment of the night is what Joy Elise told me. He said, thank you all, as it's great to have positive thoughts, and let's connect the dots. Say that again. Let's connect the dots. Grassroots organizations will get us through the next 4 years. And so I'm just saying from Papa Vince, thank you for your wisdom that day. And I just want to carry that into this space. It's important to listen to our elders. We're carrying the work of our elders on behalf of the children that are coming up behind us. And tap in. Tap in.
Thanks for listening to The Sharing Culture with Equitable Giving Circle. We appreciate you being on this journey with us. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, subscribe, and comment. If you loved what you heard, please tap in and find us on socials under Equitable Giving Circle, or find us at our website, www.equitablegivingcircle.org, to donate, volunteer, or learn more about our programming. We look forward to working with you all to build a stronger and more connected and resourced Portland community. We do a lot of work at Equitable Giving Circle to uplift the Black community of Portland, and we are both proud and honored to do this work. We're also honored that many of our local business community shows up for us. A few of these awesome businesses that we'd like to uplift in no specific order are Hue Noir, which is a Black-owned makeup line based out in Beaverton. They have the best pigmented lipstick on the market. You should absolutely check them out. Dos Hermanas Bakery over in Southeast Portland. They donate beautiful and delicious bread to us every single week for our free market. They also have the best chopped sandwich in town, so check them out. And lastly, Open House Co-working on Northeast MLK. They share space with us regularly. They also have a co-working for Black folks on Fridays, which is free and an awesome space to network and meet new folks. We hope as you lean in and support our work at EGC that you also support many of the local businesses around town that support us and our larger community.